But here on what is Christmas Eve, amen. This time last year, we were worshiping together on Christmas morning. And so as we are in this season, I have a story I want to tell you that will explain a bit where we are going this morning. My intention and the slides that are prepared for you to see this morning are going to be of none effect. Even last night, I was determined to do something other than what the Spirit of God has, by your worship and presence, allowed me to do as I stand in front of you this morning. We're going to be simple today. Amen. So this has been a different week and a different season for me and my family, and it began at coffee time on Wednesday morning. I don't know if your family has coffee time, but my family does have coffee time. It's just, for much of the time, it's my wife and I, but this week we've been blessed to have our children back, as many have your children back from college, and so I don't know if they're in your house like they are in our house, but they sleep all day long. Amen. So it's just Doris and I as we wake up in the morning, and she's preparing to go to work, and I typically go downstairs to make sure that the coffee gets started, and she grabs hers and goes out. She grabbed her coffee, and she went out on Wednesday morning, and I lingered for a bit in the kitchen before I went to grab mine, and I grabbed what is my favorite mug, and I placed it down next to the coffee maker. And as I am preparing to pour the coffee into the mug, I hear a drip. And so I look at the sink to make sure that no one has left, that no one would have been me. No one has left the faucet so that it's running. And I see there is no drip from the faucet, but again, I hear a drip. And so if you own a home, you know dripping that you can hear but can't see ain't never good. But then I see the drip, and the drip is coming from the blinds over the kitchen window down to the windowsill and down to the counter. And so I say to myself, what in the world? I ain't say it quite like that, but I on Sunday morning, I'm going to make sure it sounds to you like what in the world. And so I look, and there's a bead of water coming from the soffit over the kitchen sink, down the sill of the window, the frame of the window, down to the sill and dripping to the counter. And I look and see that this water must have been dripping like this for some time, because there's a trail of water that goes from the frame of the window, down from the soffit to the frame, to the sill, to the counter, down around the counter, under the microwave, and over to the stove. And everything on the counter is wet. And so I say to myself, this right here ain't going to be good. And so to make a long story short and a short story shorter, that begins a saga for us of days of making phone calls, and you get a plumber to your house. And I love plumbers, praise the Lord. I really believe that God should have made me a plumber. Amen. Because I, like plumbers, love using hammers, and I love using hammers just to tear stuff up. And plumbers are good at using hammers to tear stuff up. So, Pastor, I'm not going to be able to really know what's going on until I bang a little hole in this soffit over your window. And I say, listen, bro, I understand. I mean, you can't see what's behind the wall unless you get into the wall. So do what you got to do. And so he bangs a hole, and he says, I don't see any leak. And I said, well, you're going to find a leak, because I'm not going to tell my wife you just busted a hole in my wall for nothing. And so ultimately he finds not one leak but two leaks. And what winds up being the case is when our house was built in 1990, it was built with polybutylene pipes. And if anybody knows anything about those ugly gray pipes that have caused class action lawsuits throughout the country, you know that they are prone to fail. It's not a if, it's a when. And we, in the last 18 months, have found ourselves in the season of when. And so this is the third time I've had a plumber in my house fixing a leak behind a wall, a hammer-happy plumber fixing leaks behind walls. And so he says to me, you know, I really think that we have a choice or a decision to make here. You can keep having me come in and keep fixing these leaks that are going to continue to occur because of the pipes that you know you have in your house that need to be replaced, or we can just go on and replace all the pipes right now. But it sounds to me as he's talking like easy breezy, beautiful cover girl. Bang, there you go. We're going to get it in. We're going to get it done. Day, I'm out your hair. We're going to move on. I say, listen, my wife's birthday is on Saturday and it's Christmas. And when you start telling me about replacing everything, that just does not sound like something I got in my pocket right this moment. Don't worry, I'm gonna work with you. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. So where we are right now is I have holes in just about every room where there's plumbing in my house. I have walls that used to be walls that are now framing. I said to my family, we can probably not replace them, but you know those restaurants you go to and you can see the beams and all of that? We can kind of just have that rustic feel in our house. You know, you can just see the framing. It. My wife wasn't going for that. So I tried to keep my schedule as to the routine as possible and kept as many of the meetings that were already on my schedule as I possibly could. And I think the turning point for me was Friday. Because Wednesday night, he came in and he only banged one hole to tell me that there was a problem, and he explained to me what he was going to be doing. Thursday evening, he came back by himself and began to work and made what I believed was significant progress. Friday, I was expecting to see him but didn't. And so I made a run because there was something that I needed to retrieve from Christiana Mall. This is my breaking point, y'all. I am not exaggerating because I don't shop. I hate the mall in August, so you know I despise it in December. I spent, I am not exaggerating, 15 minutes in Christiana Mall. I spent 2.5 hours in the parking lot. I'm not even talking about getting on that little ring around the rosy outside the parking lot. I'm talking about getting from where the stripes are to the little, and so by this time, in every hour, I'm sending my wife a text message with a picture saying, here's what I'm looking at right now. 1 hour gone. The next hour gone. She's like, where are you? I'm like, at the mall. And by this point, the window is down in my car, and I'm still sweating. That's just how hot I am. And I get home, and the plumber is there. Nice guy. Known him since he was a child. And he and his helper do their work, and they are finished for the evening. I thought they were going to be finished for good. And I say, and they say, I'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow, wait, tomorrow, that's my wife's birthday. So we got to make some decisions about what things are going to look like now. Because at this point, I have limited water in my house, and it's really not the situation you want anybody to be living in, and you can kind of see that this just ain't going to work. So we kind of separate. We send some of us go to a hotel, and me, I'm like, you know what? I'm good. We got enough. You can do the little thing that you learned how to do when you used to go to your grandmama's house. You know, you fill that sink with water. You get that bar of soap. You get your towel, your washcloth, and you do the thing you're supposed to do. Right? That and a pallet on the floor. I remember that back in the day too, right? So I
wake up yesterday, my wife's birthday. She's not there. No plumber. 9 o'clock turns into 1 o'clock. I reach out. Yo, what's up? Where you at? No plumber. One turns into four. And by this time, my nature rising. Bruh, I just need to hear something. No plumber. About 6 o'clock, my wife, who has been out with my daughter all day long celebrating her birthday because I couldn't be there because I'm supposed to be waiting for a plumber to come and finish what should have been finished on Friday, hits me and says, "How's everything?" My response lets me know that God gave me the helper suitable for me. Because I don't remember what I said, but I remember the word seething being in my response. And she said, "Give me his number, I'll reach out." She reached out. I said, he ain't gonna respond. He ain't responding to me all day long. He's not gonna respond. She gets no response. Why am I saying all of this? I'm saying all of this because were it not for those events, were it not for Wednesday's event of a leak in some pipes that sent us into this spiral of events that we never expected, I wouldn't have found myself laying in the bed last night, preparing to preach another message. And all of a sudden, the prompt on one of the apps I have on my phone pops up at 9 o'clock and says, "What made today amazing?" Now, we can go one or two ways with this. But understanding what it was asking, it made me reflect beyond my immediate circumstance to find something that I thought made the day amazing. And so for me, it sounded like, even though I am sitting here in a room and my family is split apart, we had the capacity to make that happen. Even though I am upset by my current circumstances, I lay here in a bed with a roof over my head, a television that's on, and heat that is actually working. And I went on like that for some time into the night until I said, "Okay, God, I get it. This really isn't at this juncture going to be about pressing forward in this series that we've been in, but we really need to take a pause here in this season because I told you I hate the mall. And I saw some stuff in the mall that only reinforced how much I hate the mall, the snatching and the grabbing, the pushing and the running by, the rudeness that goes on in this season." And I said, "Well, wait a minute. Even I got in that for a moment because yesterday I was upset with somebody who may have simply said, 'I've been in this man's house until after 11 o'clock for three of the last 5 days, and here, 2 days before Christmas, maybe I need to spend some time with my own family.' Would have been good to call a brother and let him know." I understand those kinds of things. So, this morning, simply four things that came to me last night. I'm going to read this text that is not unfamiliar to anybody as The songs that we sang this morning were unfamiliar to no one, but meaningful to us all. And we're going to talk about the true meaning we should make sure we focus on in this season. Luke chapter number 2. Beginning at verse number 8. Some of y'all I know used to seeing it on the screen. We got Bibles right there in the pews in front of you if you want to grab and read along. If not, I'm reading from the English Standard Version of the Bible. And so Joseph and Mary have made their way to this town of Bethlehem because of this census that was preparing to happen. She is with child, and that child is the Son of God. Joseph, because he's a devout man, is not yet known his wife. In verse number 8 in chapter number 2, it speaks about this other group. It says, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Verse number 8, verse number 9. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. My favorite verse right here, verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, verse 21, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This week has reminded me, not that we ever forget, but it can be not as crystal as it ought to be, some of the things that this season has to be about. Simply four things, all begin with G. The first one is grace. That this has to be a season for all of us of grace. So these shepherds had heard this story. They'd been told by an angel that God was about to bless the entire world. Bless the entire world. A world that did not necessarily deserve what God was about to do. And why is that important for us? It's important for us because when we think about this season, we cannot be the kind of believers in Jesus Christ who only come into church in this season and we are ready to glorify him, absent recognizing the power that God has for us to be used in junction with in the world. What am I saying? What I'm saying is we have to be those who understand that our God is a God of grace. That each and every morning when I open my eyes, it is not just a gift of God, but it is absolutely a grace of God. And so if God has been that gracious to me, if I have been such a recipient of God's grace, then, and we'll talk about this in a moment, but then I ought make sure that I am the kind of person who absolutely looks to extend the same to others. My wife hit me this morning and she said, "Are you feeling better? Are you not as upset as you were?" And I had to respond to her by saying, "You know what? I'm good. I'm good because all of a sudden now everything for me has been placed in a different light, in a different perspective. No, this was not the way I expected. Neither did I intend that she would spend her 50th birthday the way she did. I didn't expect, nor did I intend, that in these days leading up to this time of year, that we actually as a family would be separated. But I had to say to myself, you know what? In the midst of all of that, I still have to say that my God has graced us immensely. And so if God has been this kind to me, and I can, as a pastor, so quickly lose sight of everything that he is and how important it is and get caught up in my feelings, how much more everybody else? Grace. And I'm going to tell you, one of the things that immediately follows your understanding of just how gracious God has been to each and every one of us in spite of ourselves, it's gladness. As soon as all of a sudden, I'm telling you, as soon as I came to God, you have been way too good to me. I was glad. Glad. I'm talking laughing when I had no reason to laugh. Glad because I understood all of a sudden that even when I feel like, why is all of this happening to us in this season? We ain't by ourselves. Y'all, and then I get up this morning and turn on the television. I told y'all, sometimes that's a mistake. And I hear about some of the things going on, not only in at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, but in other places in the world, and all of a sudden, I'm all the more glad about the grace of God bestowed upon me as I hear about half of the island of Puerto Rico still not having power. And no water. Or the statements that are made about repatriating people who are looking for asylum here in this country back to their country. And how can you go back to a country that is still devastated from an earthquake that happened 5 years ago? Grace? Watch this. What I got to complain about? Holes in my walls? Somebody just preached my message. I got walls. And even with the holes in the walls and the holes that will come because they're not finished in the ceiling and in more walls, I got walls. I'm glad. But God's grace leads to this feeling of gladness. I'm talking about a joy in spite of your circumstance. And it leads me to an overwhelming feeling of gratitude. God, what can I do? What is it that I can do? How is it that I deserve what you have done? How different is that, y'all? So we're here 2 Sundays before the end of the year. I'm going to ask a real quick question. We're going to do a survey. Who done been through something this year? Raise your hand. Amen. Put your hands down. Who done got through what you've been through this year? Raise your hand.
Amen. Put your hands down. Watch this. Who is still showing gratitude for what you've been through and he got you through? Amen. Hands up, but not as many hands as went up. You can put your hands down. Hands went up, but not as many hands as went up when I asked who had been through. Who had been through when God got you through? See, when I read about this family, all of a sudden, and we have the benefit of hindsight. And so as I read the text, and I read the text in its context, I understand that this is not just the story about a Savior, our Savior, the Savior being born. But in context, this was a family who didn't have much. But God visited them with grace. And they were glad in this moment that we are together and have been visited by the power of God. We ain't got much. But we have what we have together. And for that, I am glad. And then all of a sudden, these men who thought that they were being sent to be spies to be able to go back and tell the king where the Savior is. These men come, and when they get to see what God has done, they themselves, because the angels sing it before them, understand that God has even to us bestowed this grace. So we need to be glad. How do I show that gratitude? Go. And I can't keep what God has done in spite of where we might find ourselves to myself. So as difficult as it may be for us, whether it be Christmas or New Year's, we have to be those who, at the prompting of the Spirit of God, wrestle with the question, what happened today to make it amazing? What do you have today to be grateful for? Y'all, I repent. I confess more appropriately that that's not where I was just this time yesterday. This time yesterday, I was sitting in my house saying, you know this ain't right. But this to happen to me now, watch, to cost me this now, to disappoint in this way now, and I felt good being there. And all I can say is God is good. Because when the phone dinged with that question, it refocused me. And I believe we can all use that kind of refocusing from time to time. Because when life happens to us, right? When something comes up that is unexpected, how much more can unexpected be than I'm engaged and all of a sudden the woman I'm engaged to pop up pregnant and then want to tell me that I ain't never been with nobody, it's God's baby. Right? See? I want y'all to get it all out, record them, because you understand how Joseph must have felt. Right? Woman, you sound crazy. Except that he got visited by an angel himself. But then to know that you're hunted, to be persecuted, for the very thing that you didn't ask for at all. But what focused them and has to focus us? This is a hard season for some people. It's hard for my family this year. Harder than it's been in the 26 years we've been a family. But God is still gracious. And as hard as it is, when we focus on his grace, what comes immediately following that is a joy or gladness of heart. And following the gladness that comes without regard to your temporal circumstance is a gratitude that presses you to go and tell somebody else. Why is verse 20 my favorite? Because I think that verse 20 becomes the precursor for the church. Because verse 20 says, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, as it had been told them." Now I'm going to tell you, before 9 o'clock last night, this story of what's going on in my family right now might have been an illustration, but it would have been in a different vein. It would have been a different kind of story. It may have even worked out differently for a young man that I actually like and know, who is a plumber whose business practices need some work. But because I now have a different perspective, hear me, y'all, that's what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ. We do not get to operate in unfortunate circumstances the way everybody else does. But even when it's not going the way we want it to go, Jesus. Even when it's not happening the way we thought it ought to happen, Jesus and his grace toward me. Y'all know what grace is, right? Y'all understand that grace is the unmerited favor of God. I'm gonna make that real third grade plain, and then we're gonna be done. Grace means you get what you don't deserve. Amen. Now, if you don't understand that, what I encourage you to do is just look back over the last 168 hours of your life and ask yourself, has anybody or has anything happened to me in the last week that I know I ain't worked for? That I know that if they had really done the kind of background check on me that they should have done, I would have been disqualified. You standing there and they're running whatever it is they're running, and you standing there with your toes crossed. You don't want them to see your fingers crossed. And all of a sudden that joint pop up approved and you act like you knew it all the time. Grace. Right? Y'all know I'm telling the truth. That's what this is. See, as believers, this is not our ultimate season, but it's the penultimate season. We really jump for joy at Easter. But had it not been for the grace that God bestowed upon us in this season, the joy that we celebrate at the resurrection would never have happened. So yes, in this moment, I'm glad. Watch what happens. I got holes in my walls now, but I ain't never got to worry about my plumbing going bad again. Watch. It don't look like what it's going to look like, but it'll never look again the way it used to look. Grace. And when I know that the presence of God extends to me his grace,
even when I'm in the middle of it, I can be glad, show gratitude, hear me, and tell everybody I come into contact with.
Amen.
That's this season. So when you get up tomorrow and you celebrate with your family, look at everybody. Look at everybody. And just remind yourself how blessed you are to have them in your midst one more time. And when they go for the same wing you going for, right? Grace. Let them have it. Be glad. And then go tell somebody, hey, listen, I let Johnny have the last wing. Now, you know, last year we would have fought. Look at God. Amen. In all seriousness, love your families tomorrow. Make sure that somebody offers a prayer, and in that prayer, they thank God for his grace. They thank God and show gratitude for his presence, not the presence. And then tell somebody as you go about all you watched God do. Let's pray.